Blog Talk Radio.
What up, what up, what up? You know who it is. It's the one that keeps you motivated, inspirated, and educated. The owner and sole owner of Say When I Athletes Respectfully. My name is P. Richardson, coming to you live on Blog Talk Radio. And today I do got former Texas Tech Red Raider, also former Dallas Cowboy, Houston Texans, Philadelphia Eagles. Right now he's currently the starting defensive back for the Calgary Stampeders for the Canadian Football League. And this guy right here comes from a strong foundation. This dude came to Texas Tech, made some noise. I was actually with him when he got picked up by the Cowboys. And then he has just continued to soar and just continue to do great things. And his name is Jamar. Whoop, 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 Jamar! Whoa. What's up, Jamar?
What up, T? We strong.
Nothing much, man. Just out here, just trying to maintain, keep them going insane. So I done briefly introduced you, so I'll go ahead and let you formally introduce yourself, man.
Like you said, Jamar Wall, former Texas Tech player, born and raised out of Plainview, Texas, you know, home of the Bulldogs. Like you say, man, played some NFL for a little bit, married, had me a little girl on the way, March 28th. But everything's good, man. Just blessed and trying to soar, like T said.
That's what's up, man. Much respect and congratulations to you on your little princess coming in. You know, some people say that life changes you. That changes you whenever you get a little seed coming into your family and you see a little you growing up. And I can agree, man. I got a little son that, I mean, he's 1 year old right now that I'm seeing him grow up and seeing him just take them first steps. I definitely can tell you, man, it's a life-changing experience right there. So which brings me to my first question. Mr. Wall, I'm not going to take too much of your time today. So, for the Red Raider fans out there, you know we come straight from the Big 12, and I got to ask this question. Did you get a chance to see what's going on with the college system and about with Baylor, what's going on with Baylor and TCU?
I've been briefly kind of keeping up with it, man. I see their frustrations and everything. My season just ended, so I'm over football for right now. But I feel that frustration, man. How do you... You know what I'm saying? Two great teams who are battling. You know what I'm saying? I don't exactly get the predictions for the playoff system and everything. You never understand who's picking and why they're picking and for what reason. But I definitely hate that not one of those teams got into that playoff system. One of those teams should definitely be able to get into that playoff system to prove themselves. I feel like the Big 12 is always underrated in what they do because we are all a system. You know, if you really think about it, every team has a system. You know what I mean? It's how each coach has their own little philosophy, their own theories of things that they want to do. It's a system. So just because we pass more than what other teams in the, you know, SEC, they run and pass equally. You know what I'm saying? Just because they have that kind of system, how do you know they'll be able to strive against the Big 12 passing? They're not used to that. So why not put one of those teams in there and see what they can do? You know, see how interesting that game could be. It might surprise some people.
Right, man. I completely agree. Every conference and stuff has a system that they go by and that they maintain. And you're exactly right, man, especially coming from the Texas Tech Red Raiders, one of the Air A teams. You know, the quarterbacks from our systems don't really get a fair chance because they just like, oh, he's from the Mike Leach system. Anybody can go there and do good, which me and you both know isn't true. We've seen some quarterbacks that try to be within the Coach Leach system and just did not do well. And one of the guys who really comes to mind, I don't know if you knew him, but he was in my class. His name was Chris Todd. He came in here our freshman year in 2005, battled with Graham for a year, realized that he wasn't going to start, so he went to Auburn. First he went to community college, and then he went to Auburn. Then he ended up becoming a starter there at Auburn, in which he ended up doing supremely doing there. He was the quarterback right before Cam Newton, and also brings me to another point, to another Big 12 team that moved to the SEC and really end up doing well. And a lot of people really got behind this dude's bandwagon, which is Johnny Football. And Johnny Football went over there and really succeeded and really did a lot of positive things in the SEC and a lot of people and got positive yards. But there was a quote done by Bob Stoops that saying that is Johnny Football really that good? But Bob Stoops said that, the SEC finally facing a team with a good quarterback. You know, and good quarterbacks really make up the Big 12. You know, so I really feel like Baylor and TCU really deserve that shot, but they're not a big name powerhouse school like Ohio State, like Oklahoma Sooners, like the Texas Longhorns. Because I really feel like if it was those two teams in the Big 12, things probably would have worked out a little different.
Oh yeah, of course. Like you said, they're not a big name school, and that's like you know, as we played those two teams, or TCU just got into the Big 12, but. Baylor was never a powerhouse for the Big 12 until these recently last 4 or 5 years. But, yeah, I mean, like you said, I was always comparing that because I played with guys from Bama and all those. You know, they think their guys get to earth at Bama. But I was the guy
right.
I'm like, when we played A&M, we're not the greatest in the Big 12. But look what they did when they went to the SEC. They had a good quarterback and played in the Big 12 system. And they came in and started balling. Same thing with Missouri. Missouri was always pretty good,
exactly.
But they went over there and they even thrived, you know what I mean? So how can you put us down? Well, you had two of the teams who were not the greatest went over there and immediately had success. From the start of the first of the year, when they immediately got over there, they had success. So can't say that it's a system. It's that, our system is better than y'all's. If our two, some of our teams went over there and had success in the first couple of years, quarterback and all. Like you said, I remember Chris Todd. I was here with him. So not every quarterback can come succeed over here. You still have to build a thing. People don't give Graham the type of credit that he needed because he ran the offense. Leach gave him options. He made the audibles. It wasn't like he looked over like some of the teams looked over to the sideline for the checks. He made those checks as to be an actual quarterback, and that's what people never gave him credit for. He's still system quarterback or not, you have to make those throws. You still have to read if they're in zone or if they're in man.
And you still got to put in the time, you know, to get comfortable and to get comfortable within the system. So a lot of people just need to shut up because they really don't know what they're talking about, you know. So
90% of people don't know what they're talking about who make those comments.
Yeah, man, that's true. But which brings me to my next question, man. Up there in the Canadian League playing for the Stampeders, how different is that making that transition from the NFL to the CFL?
From the first year, man, it was a little difficult. You know, the field's wider, it's longer, it's three downs instead of four. You're playing with 12 guys instead of 11. Your receivers can all move in a waggle. Or it's a downhill motion at you while you're running, but you're still playing the same coverages, man. So I'm having to guard a guy in the field that's wider, you know, that he's having to run a head start at me. And I'm still having to play bump and run, man coverage with no help, zero cover. You know what I'm saying? It's a little difficult. So I have to kind of change my techniques up a little bit, you know, kind of work on my feet, had to make sure I got real good with my feet and my hands, man. The rest is history. We had a good season. I got blessed to get on a good team. You know, we made it to the Grey Cup two out of my 3 years of being here. We lost the first year. We won just this past couple weekends. We won in the 2014 Grey Cup. So, like I say, man, I've been blessed. Like, I can't – it's no other way to say it, but I've been blessed, man.
Oh, man. Congratulations on that, man. Two out of three times making it to the Grey Cup. Just won it a few weeks ago. What Mr. Wall just said, just won the Grey Cup a few weeks ago. So congratulations on that. And I can imagine somebody getting a head start on a field that's wider and a little longer. Oh, no.
Yes, when I first got there, I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to play in this league, man. How do people do this? I'm not smoking up somebody running at me with a 15-yard head start.
Like you gotta go backwards. It's like, oh, now come on, coach. So I'm really glad that you changed your technique up and that you gone ahead and became a starter and doing things. And Jamal didn't tell you guys that he actually led his team in interceptions and also made the All-Star team within the CFL. That's correct, right?
Yes, sir. It is.
Oh, that's what's up. How many interceptions did you have?
I had 6, man. I was also tied for the league lead in interceptions with another guy.
Oh, okay. So not only was he leading the team, but he also tied the whole league within within interceptions. So that's actually pretty cool, man. That's actually pretty cool. Not everybody able to make that smooth little transition from the NFL over to the CFL. So which brings me to my next question. Socially, man, like, how is it over there? Like, I know that everybody kind of knows about Chad Ochocinco. They kind of televised his transition a little bit. So I got to see a little bit over there in the Canadian League and how things kind of operate, but they only showed him outside of a coffee shop, or I want to say, per se. I had a friend who played not professional baseball, but it was some high competitive baseball over there in the Canadian League. But that was probably about 6 or 7 years ago, and me and him talked a little bit socially. So I just wanted to get your input, man. How did you adapt socially? Like, is the weather cold over there? Do they serve some good chicken over there, or what, man?
Oh, man, it's definitely different, man. You still got people over there that are nice. You know, 90% of them are friendly. You know, they kind of invade your personal space a little bit, but I mean, they mean for the best. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing. You know, they never try to just. It's no mean people, really, man. They bring you in. You have a great fan base for them, man. I got lucky and got to a nice city, because there's some teams that have a terrible city, man. You know what Hell Center's like, Hell Center, Texas? There's some teams you know what I mean? So, like I said, I got living in Texas.
You blink and you out of Hell Center.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
No, man, it's good. The food was a little different. It wasn't different, but it kind of tasted different. I don't know if they used different salt, seasoning salt or what. I don't know. But no, man, I got into a really nice city. It's in the spring, it's actually really nice. You know, we get into the nice 70, 75. So when I say around this time right now, and it's December, oh, man, y'all better get back to Texas. It gets in those negatives and that snowfall. Oh, man, it's rough. It's rough.
In the negatives?
Oh, yes, in the negatives.
I'll be like, no, I can't go outside today.
When you go outside, they take your breath away. That type of cold.
I'm like, I got stuff to do today. Oh man, that's what's up. So with that being said, man, what's your favorite memory that you'd have had so far playing professionally over there? You know, with tying the team and league with interceptions, winning the championship game. So what's your best memory so far? Like, is it winning the championship, or is it just one day you really remember, particularly at practice where you guys busted your butt, or just whenever you got your wife to come in, or when you found out you was about to be a daddy? So, you know, so what was like your best memory you had so far?
It's hard to pinpoint one, man. Like I say, this is probably the best year I could have ever imagined. It's going to be tough to compare any others coming, you know, thinking going forward. It's going to be hard to compare. But ultimately, just right off the top of my head, it has to be winning the Grey Cup, man. That's something that people have played in this league for years and never won. You know what I'm saying? I got here. I've been here for 3 years and made it twice to the Grey Cup. You know what I'm saying? So just those type of deals, man, just knowing that the type of favor that this team has is just – it's great, man. Like, we got a new D coordinator this year, and he came in saying that if we can buy into his system – we will win the Grey Cup at the end of the year. That was one of the first things he said to us. If we were buying to his system, we're going to win the Grey Cup. And, you know, at first it was a little different than what we had been playing in the past 2 years or so. And it took some time. They had a lot of vets who were already kind of molded a certain way that had to learn a new way. And, you know, you have a guy, you say you don't teach an old dog's new trick. And it was tough for some people. You know, some people couldn't figure it out, couldn't quite get it, but towards the end of the season, man, we start to really mold together. It took some hard times. We put some yelling at each other, but that just showed how much of a family, how much we cared that we wanted to win this ring. And it had some guys' feelings hurt. Everyone's feelings got hurt at least once or twice this year, but no one cared because we knew that it was just a business. We were all here for one purpose, though, to win that Grey Cup. And when we just turn on the film and see that everyone's finally buying into that system, everyone's running to the ball, everyone's playing as hard as they can. He always say, he would say to us, I mean, you turn on the fan with your daughter, your granddaughter, could you tell them right there that was as hard as you can go? And I know that was one thing that always stuck with me. It's okay, especially when I found out I was having that little girl, like everything started coming to play. I'm like, okay, is that as hard as you can play? Hey, God beside me, I'm looking at this, this is as hard as you can play. And when you see that, you see everyone, and you can honestly say that's as hard as we can go. Oh, man, it looked like we were bulls and china shops, man. We were running everywhere, making plays, getting excited. And when you see that on field, man, it just gave you the chills. And like he said, we knew it. Going into that Grey Cup, we knew we were going to be Grey Cup champs. And I would say overall, that is what was one of the my top feelings. Because at the end of the day, you can sit back and reflect on it. That we worked our way up to this point, and we actually won it. And so that was, I mean, you had guys tearing up, you know, grown men that you never think. They had to tearing up crying because we bought in and we got us a championship, man. Some guys that never won a ring ever. And to get that first ring on that level, man, it was a special night, man. It was a great night.
Oh, you know what? I can understand. You know, I never won a championship in Little League. Well, nope, we made it to the Little League championship, but we came up short. Never won a championship. We won the cross town championship in middle school, where I come from. But in high school, didn't win a state championship. Came to college, we came close a few couple years that 2008 season, besides the Big 12 championship. But it wasn't really the Big 12 championship game. You know, they were actually partaked in, and then I didn't play professionally, so all my championships was gone. So I could feel, I can understand where those grown men is coming from, where they got that tears of joy, that excitement, to whenever those guys really did win that championship, who's never won a championship before, after they did get that ball and raise it up and feel it, they go to their families, man. So I could just, it just gave me the chills just thinking about it. So, Jabari, you know what I mean? So, with that being said, man, tell me who you think is gonna win the national championship? Well, in the college football.
I don't know, man. I'm kind of interested to see what's gonna happen, cause it's hard to say Florida State, but the thing is, the guys have come back from deficits of 21 points and won the game. You know what I'm saying? They're not as good as they were last year. I don't know if it's a little bit of being complacent or, you know, just kind of, I don't know, fool themselves or thinking it's too good, but it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be tough for them to repeat it. I just can't tell you, man. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say Oregon could possibly get it, man.
What? No.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it. I want to see what happens. I'm going to go out on a limb
Everybody
and see
knows.
What happens.
Oh, I don't know about that, but I know Mariota is going to win the Heisman. I know that for sure.
Yeah.
Because that's just hands down. It's almost because Jameis Winston and throw him, well, how many interceptions he been throwing? Like 18? But, hey, those guys are still undefeated, though. They're still undefeated.
That's why I'm going to go out on the limb. But, like I said, I like them all together. But if they get, I don't know how they're gonna be able to react if they get out by 21 or so points in the playoff system. You know what I mean? In playoffs, in those bowl games, you kind of turn up a little bit more. They didn't come out on top on a couple of them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't take anything from them. Honestly, if you really want to know, I think they're gonna win again. But like I say, I'm going out on a limb and I'm gonna say Oregon just to make things
easier
for me.
I hear you. I can feel you on that, man. Because even Oregon is facing everybody's best. You know, they're just not a Rudy Boo team. Everybody, whenever you see Oregon on their schedule, everybody's probably preparing for them 2 weeks in advance, well, a week in advance, trying to get ready for Mariota and that high power offense over there. So, but everybody already knows Florida State, like from week one when they play Oklahoma State. You know, everybody knows that every time you play in Florida State, you're getting their best. Everybody wants to knock down number one. And I think they've proved over and over time again this year that they can face adversity. They can face adversity and overcome those obstacles. And I don't know if you remember Dinky. Dinky Williams said a quote on my show last week saying, show me what do you say, you squeeze an orange and if you squeeze an orange juice will come out. So what's gonna happen when you go through adversity, when you are being squeezed, either a little boy gonna come out or a grown man, like, but you know, Dinky, he's a dog. He like to you know, he said, you squeeze me, a dog gonna come out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's all
right.
Like,
yeah.
I said, they've come through so much adversity, man. You gotta go for it. You have to. Cause they, like I said, they came from 21 points down on several occasions and still undefeated. That's the thing. They got that heart. They got that leadership to where no one gets the butthole tight or anything. But and they just come out and play. They okay. We done been here before. We know how to get out that hole. While other people get excited, okay, they come back. What do we do now? They said, no, we're like, okay, it is what it is. This is what we do. We play football.
Exactly. It is what it is. This is what we do. So let's get it. And you know, that's just that confidence. There's a difference between being arrogant and being confident. There's a difference between being conceited and being confident. Being conceited is bragging, you know, saying what you're going to do. But having confidence is just – having confidence is just knowing that, you know, you got that you got that swag, you know what I mean? And you got the swag to just overcome whatever's getting thrown at you, and I've come to find out too. I've run into my problems and stuff in my life, and it's like everybody's cool. It's kind of just like working out and playing sports. Everything is cool when you're healthy, when you're feeling good, you know, when everything is good at home. So you out there on the field bouncing around, right? Just like in the real world, man. Just like in the real world, it's like everything is cool. Your wife's cooking at home. You really ain't got nothing. Your car's being fixed. You ain't got to worry about getting nothing fixed on your car. You cool at work. But then as soon as adversity hit, and then you start to go through some things, and then that's when it's going to really show you who you really are. You know what I mean? Who are you? Who is my wife when we going through some things? Is she going to stick by me or is she going to run? Who am I looking at in the mirror when I go through some things? Am I going to start being mean to my wife? Am I gonna start being mean to my coworkers? So like, whenever you go through some things, is whenever you're on the field and you got a pulled hamstring or you got a tweaked ankle, when you still go out there and go 100%, then you know that's showing character. You know, talent can get you there, but character is gonna keep you there. And that's one thing what I really like about you, Jamar, is that you got tremendous character. You got a good foundation. You come from a good foundation, and you're able to. Whenever you get there, you know you're gonna stay there. That's why one thing I never really worried about you when you got drafted in the NFL. I never really worried about you being able to sustain it, because I felt like once you got into the right system, you're just gonna do great things. In which to come to find out, what the system that you end up doing great in, which is in the CFL, which brings to the light of whenever there's opposition becomes opportunity. You know, just like I interviewed Lyle Leon the other day. You know, he had got cut, you know, from his team in the CFL and got a phone call the same day to come be a grad assistant. So he took that opposition and made opportunity out of it. And not only did you have the Cowboys, the Texans, the Eagles. You know what I mean? And then there's one more in there. If you would have wanted to give up then, and I remember talking to you in the midst of all that time, if you wanted to give up then on the opposition, then you wouldn't be having the best year of your life right now. So, and with this brings to another point, without the dark, we can't see the stars, baby. You know what I mean?
Lying, man. If you ain't been through anything, man, it's going to be hard for coming. When you do fit that first bit of adversity, what are you going to do? Like you said, is that dog going to come out or are you going to tuck that tail and run? You know, so having that adversity, it makes or breaks it. You know what I'm saying? And that's like I say, like you said, man, we already knew that when we hit adversity, it's no choice. We're not taking our tail. We're going to stand our ground, and we're going to keep moving forward, because it's more than one opportunity here. It might, like for Lyle, his wasn't for football. It was for him to play. But like you said, he got that call in that same day to go be a grad assistant. He's still in football. Mm-hmm. He's still been able to give back and show his expertise in playing the position. You mean, you know, both know Lyle was a great receiver and some of the best hands I've never seen.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So be able to go and talk to somebody and coach somebody, I mean, that's a blessing too. Because maybe your gift for God wasn't to be able to play. It was to play to get to a level to where, okay, I know this. I know how to do that. Now let's go give back. Let's go give back to this. Let's go give back to that. So blessings ain't,
yeah,
might
exactly.
not be what you want it to be, but it's still a blessing when you get to be able to do it.
Oh, okay. And like, man, well, I'm sorry about that, but yeah, you're exactly right. But Youth Minister Stephen Ivey was just texting me. I'm having a little difficulty internet here. Like, he calls in and blesses the show, but he's not going to be able to call in today because I can't really see him, and so he can get on and do his thing. But it's all right. It's all right, Mr. Ivey. We're gonna get you on next week or next Monday. So sorry about that, my man. That's one thing about radio, and that's one thing about adversity. You know, you just like what we're talking about. We can't let that get me down right there. Just got to keep rolling with the punches and keep going with the win, because at the end of the day, I know I'm going to win. You hear me?
Yep.
So bring to my next question, man. What, like, right now is bowl season. Like, let's rewind it back to the days of Texas Tech. Right now is bowl season, which Texas Tech, unfortunately, this year is not going to a bowl. But that's all we know. You know what I'm saying? That's all we know. We get through with the regular season. That's all we know is bowl season. So for the people that's out there that aren't necessarily playing for the Red Raiders, that's playing for, you know, the other schools like West Virginia, who got some former Red Raider coaches over there, who's playing for East Carolina, who got some former Red Raiders coaches over there, you know. So what's some advice would you give that freshman going into that first bowl game, bowl season, you know, tell them not to have too much fun or, you know, hang around certain crews, and, you know, so what's some advice that you could tell them to help them keep their head on straight?
One thing our coach told us here while we was going to the Grey Cup, because we go there a week in advance as well, he said, really, man, don't change anything that you didn't do here. He said, if you go out there, but know that you're not there for partying, you're there for business. It's still a business trip. You just got more time to do what you do and, you know, have fun. Of course, enjoy it. For those freshmen, it's your first year. It's your first year. You're about to go to a bowl game. You might be in a city you've never been. You know, go out and have your fun. But when it's time to clock in for work, man, go to work. Because at the end of the day, it's always a business trip. Have your fun.
Yes.
But get ready to go. When it's time to clock in, clock in. When it's time to clock out, okay, have your fun. Know if you can hang out with certain people. Know if you can hang out with, you know, whatever. But like he said, he told us to have our fun, just be ready to work. Because at the end of the day, you got to go to that, you got to get at that job, you got to win that bowl game.
Yep, there it is. He said, if you went out there, for the listeners out there, if you go into your first bowl game, if you went out at your college town, he's saying go out there too. But he's saying, but just realize you're in a new town, new city, new state. Just realize at the end of the day, it's a business trip. It's a business trip. Like, don't change it up. What they say, if it ain't broke, then don't fix it. You know, so don't change it up. Keep continue to do you. Keep continue to soar. Do positive things. And go out there. If you're a starter, if you're a freshman, if you're a starter, or if you're a role player, or if you're just a red shirt, know your role, stick to your role, play your role, and then you might end up to an end goal, which is a W at the end of the day, which I would just remember the Insight Bowl. We had the greatest comeback ever in the big in college football. And you remember that bowl game, the Insight Bowl, whenever we came back from, what was it, 35-7? Like that.
Came back
35-7.
31-point, 32-point deficit.
Yeah, something like that. I just remember being in that locker room, man, and Benny coming in that thong. I remember Benny. Strength coach throwing over the Gatorades, but I just remember the chemistry that we had as a team. You know, Benny coming in there, doing his thing, trying to be all loud, then Coach Leach, well, what are we going to do? You know, and saying all that. But actually, Brock Stratton, Joe Filani, all those guys, we all, Robert Johnson, everybody was just like, you know what, it's us. We're a team, we're a family, we're going to go out there and we're going to get it done. And Graham took us out there, and the defense did strong. Everybody, you, Darcell, everybody stepped it up, and we held the Minnesota boys, and them boys from Lone Star State went up there, and we did great in the Insight Bowl, man. So, all right, this is going to be the conclusion of the interview, Mr. Wall. I'm not going to take up too much more of your time. What's some advice would you give somebody right now who's going through a tough time and trying to make it through finals and trying to make it through and trying to make it home to go see their family maybe for Christmas or whatnot? So what's some advice would you give somebody going through their freshman year to help them get through it. You know, whether it's finals, whether it's sports, if they're going through a tough time, is it like a quote you want to share, or is it something that helps you get through?
One thing I would say, always finish, man. Know that you're there. Your family gonna be there. You know what I'm saying? Get your schoolwork first. Always finish your schooling. You know what I'm saying? If you want to rush and get home, you know what I'm saying? You've been home. You lived there for 18 years.
Right.
So take the time in your work, man. Finish up. Make sure you pass those classes, because cutting the class, trying to get home, it's not going to do nothing. Cause extra money for the family. Cause extra stuff for hassle that you don't want to do. Just take your time. You know what I'm saying? I was one of the last ones to finish my test and everything. But I never failed a class. That's one thing I say. I never failed a class. I always did what I was supposed to do. And then you always have to see your family. The one thing that for struggling times, man, I'm big in the Bible. And my thing was, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know what I'm saying? So if you're having trouble, man, pray about it. Ask God to help you on certain things. I literally ask him to help me on everything. Help me to get over this. Help me to get past this. Help me to do that. It's nothing too big or too small for him to help you with. You know what I'm saying? So ask and you shall receive when you believe in all your heart. You know, I ain't going to quote days, man, but like I say, man, I ain't going to scripture quotes for days, man. But, yeah, like I say, man, just fight through it, persevere, and great things will come. Your ace those steps, you get home to your family, be able to spend time for the holidays and come back and get back to work safely.
Yeah, man, I completely agree with you all. I completely agree with you right there. Fight through it, persevere, and you're going to get it. One thing Coach Leach used to say whenever we would have big games and everybody, so it would seem like everybody would want to just, you know, want to spend time with their family or do this with their mama or be with their fat little girlfriend, that Coach Leach might say. He would say, yeah, you got your family here. Yes, they love you. But I'm going to tell you this, they're going to love you a little more if you win. You know, so I mean, I can feel them on that. That's 100% true. Well, all right, Mr. Wall, it's really been my pleasure. I really enjoyed your interview here. I wish you nothing but great things. I hope you continue to soar and continue not only be a great athlete, a great citizen to the community, but also a great father to your princess that your wife is about to give birth to, my man. So it's really been my pleasure. I want to say thank you. And you have a blessed day, man, and tell your wife I said what's up.
Will do, man. I appreciate you for having me on the show once again, man. Continue to push on yourself and do what you do with Thor, man.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. You have a great day, brother.
Man, you too, bro. I'll holler at you.
All right, cool.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, that was Mr. Jamar Walsh right up out of Plainview, Texas. Came up to Texas Tech, got drafted by the Dallas Cowboys, I believe, in a 196th round. Ended up going there and then went through some adversity. Then ended up going to the Houston Texans, went through some adversity. Went to the Philadelphia Eagles, went through some adversity. But then ultimately getting picked up by TFL to where he ended up tying the league for interceptions this year, leading the team in interceptions. So my point is don't let your opposition get you out of position. Let your opposition become an opportunity. Whenever adversity hits, adversity causes some men to break or causes some men to break records. So the choice is yours. If you blessed with if you blessed with the gift of life when you wake up every day, then you are blessed. If you enjoy what you're doing every day and you happy when you go home, then you are successful. Don't let nobody tell you what you're not. Don't let nobody tell you what you're not, because life is all about making your dreams come true. No matter what you've done or what you've been through, life's about making your dreams come true. So y'all know who I am. My name is P. Richardson. Pete Richardson, the owner and sole creator of Saving Athletes Respectfully. I wish everybody a blessed day. That's the conclusion of the interview today. I'll catch you guys next week, just like that. Yeah, that's right. Pete Richardson, owner and sole creator of Saving Athletes Respectfully. Hope everybody have a blessed day. Peace.